All right, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to Ephesians chapter 4. That was Jolene Cruz leading us in that last song. She's a resident on her team, on our team here, and leads at Champions, leads at North Klein, and does such a good job. Her husband, Stephen, is also a resident. He was playing keys for us this morning, and just grateful for our worship team. I love our music here at 1045, and just the worship of God's people. I like all kinds of music. My favorite genre, outside of praise and worship, of course, is country. And I love my country music, and depending on the mood that I'm in, one of my favorites to listen to is the country great, the man in black himself, Johnny Cash. His voice. I love the stories that he tells through his music. I was just recently watching a documentary on his wife, June Carter Cash. It got me thinking about his life. And if any of you are familiar with him and his life, you know that he was a very complex man, battled addictions most of his life. It was a real up and down journey for him. He was raised in a Christian home, but just battled all of his life. And ultimately, toward the last years of his life, he was traveling with Billy Graham and Billy Graham Crusade, sharing his testimony and singing, of course, and just speaking of his faith in Christ. Just last year, they unveiled a statue of him in our nation's capital. You know, every state gets two statues of individuals that they want to commemorate and honor. And the state of Arkansas chose Johnny Cash, the only musician, to have his own statue in Statuary Hall. They also chose civil rights activist Daisy Bates. Cash sold more than 90 million records worldwide. He wrote over 1,000 songs. And, you know, we're just coming out of Easter, and one that's really familiar that was made popular recently, Ain't No Grave, if you're familiar with that, Johnny Cash song. He had 14 number ones, and his first number one, probably his most popular song, is I Walk the Line. And, of course, a movie was made after Johnny's life with that title. He wrote that song in Gladewater, Texas, in one of his early concerts in 1956. And I was reading up on it this week, just studying the story behind the song. And Cash was on the road traveling. He was recently married, newly married. And he told an interviewer, he said, you know, I was sitting backstage in Gladewater, Texas. I was in my dressing room. And outside of that room were all of these temptations. And I wanted to write something of my faithfulness to my wife, my faithfulness to my Christian faith. And he said, this song in 50 minutes... he penned this song, and again, it was his first number one, a verse and chorus from the song. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Cash wanted to be on the straight and narrow. He wanted to be loyal. He wanted to be able to say no to various temptations that came his way. He wanted to walk the line. And that is the title I'm taking for today's message as we look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we took a one-week break coming out of Easter, and we're going back into our study in Ephesians. For any guest that's here, maybe you were here at Easter and you came back this week to see what it's all about, allow me to catch you up a little bit. The Apostle Paul, an early follower of Christ, he began to write letters, travel the world, planting churches, and in cities that he planted churches, he would oftentimes write letters to them. That is where we get the book of Ephesians. Ephesus was a city in modern-day Turkey, and Paul writes, and in this letter, when it was originally written, it was just a letter. It didn't have chapters and verses. That came along later to help us, but we see the first three chapters, chapters 1 through 3 in the book of Ephesians, are very theological in nature. Chapters 4 through 6 are very practical in nature, and so right before Easter, we made the transition into the very practical aspects of this book. And again, if you're a guest, and even for our members, really want you to come back these next few weeks, because we are talking about some down-to-earth realities. I mean, over these next few weeks, Paul gets into some things that are extremely practical, like how to have a healthy marriage, how to raise your children in a godly way. He talks about aspects of spiritual warfare, what kind of friends that we should have. And so you don't don't want to miss any of these weeks. If you do miss them, I'd encourage you to go online, watch them, download our app, follow along as we go. The practical part began in chapter 4, and Paul called the church in verses 1 through 16, if you remember, to maturity and to unity. Now, there was a corporate aspect to this as well as a personal aspect. Corporately, he wanted the church to be mature and unified, but he knew the big church, the big C, would never be matured and growing and unified if it wasn't for the personal level, the personal aspect of this. And so he wanted every single person, got to grow, got to mature, got to be unified. And if the people are unified, then the church will be unified. So we look at this passage today, and Paul moves from talking about and calling the church to maturity and to unity, to today, he calls the church to purity. So I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Again, this is why we're calling it walking the line, because it is this call to purity. The Bible says this. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord. What Paul is about to say here is very important, okay? He's emphasizing his authority as an apostle of Christ. This I say and testify in the Lord. What he's saying is, you can be sure what I'm saying, that the Lord himself is stamping his affirmation on what I'm saying. So again, this is uber important here, what Paul is saying. He says, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. Now, Paul just said a lot right there, and we'll come back and work it out in just a moment. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality and to greed, to practice every kind of impurity. Underline that right there. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, five times in the book of Ephesians, all in the second half of this letter, the practical part, Paul will use this word walk there. You see it in verse 17. Don't walk as the Gentiles do, to describe a lifestyle. He used the word previously in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. He'll use it three more times in chapter 5. He's communicating to these believers that they should be living in a certain way. That now that they are followers of Christ and their identity is in Christ, who they are in Christ ought to affect their behavior, their practice, how they live, i.e. how they walk. He wants their lifestyle to be one that is different from the world around them. And in order to show them what he is talking about, he develops a contrast between the former way of life, who they were before Christ, and who they are now that they are in Christ. The characterization is someone who is of the old self. You see it there in verse 22. They are to put off the old self, and the new self, verse 24, they are to put on. So let's look at this contrast and see what we are to put off. This is the old self. Now, as we look at this, I want you to notice something about this description. This is a description of those who are unsaved. What we're about to talk about, the old self way of living, is a way of life regarding someone who has never put their faith and trust in Christ. Paul says, don't walk as the Gentiles do. That's his way of saying, of describing a pagan way of life. This is how someone lives who does not know God and does not have a relationship with God. And he describes them first, the old self, as having just, if you're taking notes, write it down, a dark mind. Look at verse 17 and 18, the first part again. Now this I say to you and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. That word futility there, it's empty. It's vain. It's worthless, okay? You could say it's good for nothing thinking. That's the dark mind. It even says they are darkened, verse 18, in their understanding. The idea of darkened here is spiritual blindness. Like they just don't get the purposes and plans of God. Now we all know people like this. We know people, you might even be here today listening to this message, watching online, and you are book smart. I mean, you are college educated. Some of you may even have your PhD. Some of you may lead organizations and teams of people. And from the outside looking in, from a worldly standpoint, you are capital S-H-A-R-P sharp. But when it comes to the ways of God, when it comes to the plans and purposes of God, you just don't get it. Nor do you desire to. You don't consider what's pleasing to God. Don't even think about it. Why is that? What's going on there? Paul's going to say that kind of person has a dark mind. In the book of 1 Corinthians, he's going to say this kind of person with a dark mind, he calls it a natural person, meaning this person has never been born of the Spirit of God. He's never been born again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their folly to him. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. I used to think about this all the time because my brother, if you've heard me talk about our relationship, got a great relationship with my brother, but for 17 years, I prayed for my brother Eric to come to know Christ. Now, we grew up in the same home. We went to the same vacation Bible schools. We went to the same church camps, but when my brother graduated high school and went to the University of Southern Mississippi, he majored in the Pike Fraternity House, okay? We took a different path. I go to Bible school, Wichita Baptist University, and I major in preaching. You couldn't get two different brothers. Now, outside looking in, my brother is way smarter than me, all right? Now, I'm the better looking one, no doubt about that. But my brother, he's way smarter than me, and I would think, how on earth, why doesn't he get it? I mean, don't you know people like that in your life? Like, you look at them, maybe they're in your family or you work with them, and they're sharp, they're connected, they've got great people skills, they are smart, they're a whip. I mean, they are smart. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's just, they don't know, they don't care, just doesn't add up. Why is that? The light turned on for me one day when I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, where the Bible says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, before we put on Christ, this is who we were. We had a dark mind, and it's not until we, by faith, trust in Christ that veil is removed and we begin to see things spiritually. And just so you know, my brother did, after 17 years, come to know Christ. The veil was removed. God radically changed his life. I say that just to say, for those of you that are praying for people in your life who you're sitting here going, why don't they get it? And you've shared your testimony and you've brought them to church and they grew up and you're thinking, why have they come back? You just keep praying for them. You just keep praying for them, all right? It's never too late. Now, the second characteristic of a person who's still living in the old self kind of way, it's described as having a hard heart. Do you see it there? It's right out of the text, verse 18 and 19. So they have a dark mind, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Look at this. Due to their hardness of heart. Verse 19, they have become callous. Now, from a spiritual perspective, you need to know this. The mind and the heart always work together, for better or for worse. You might ask, which one influences the other first? Does the mind influence the heart? Does the heart influence the mind? The answer is yes. They are in this together. The idea of hardening here is a picture of callous skin. If I worked out, I could show you, okay? But I don't. You know what I'm talking about, though. It's dead skin. Verse 19 uses the word callous. It's a word to describe a bone that has petrified. It's as hard as a rock. This is the heart of someone who is distant from God doesn't mean they're a bad person. Doesn't mean they can't be sensitive and shed tears. But from a spiritual standpoint, the Bible says their heart is hard. Now, warning here. We're talking about and describing someone who is outside of a relationship with Christ. They are the old self. But warning, Christians, believers in the room, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible tells us that if we reject the voice of God in our life, it has a hardening effect on our heart as well. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. The Bible says this, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it's called a day, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." As Christians, and this is who the book of Ephesians is written to. It's written to believers in Ephesus. What Paul is saying is we have a responsibility to keep our heart soft before the Lord. We do not let our hearts grow calloused. And the way to making sure that it remains soft is through faith and obedience to Christ. When we hear what God is saying, we act in obedience to it. That's what keeps a soft heart. I said it before. The number one prayer request I have for my children, pray it nearly every day, is God, keep their hearts soft and sensitive to you. I don't want our children, and I certainly don't want spiritual children, to live in such a way where they say no to the voice of God in their life, and every time we say no to what God is speaking, our heart gets a little bit harder. It's like plaque buildup on a tooth. It just happens over time. So be warned here. If you choose to live in sin, this is a warning for believers. If you, in the new self, choose to live in sin, you can be a believer and still look like the old self. There's a drift that takes place, and before too long, you don't even realize it. When you say yes to sin, when you give the devil an inch, you are opening yourself up and sometimes don't even realize it. And what happens is over time of doing that, if you're not careful, if you don't watch out, take care, brothers, is what the writer of Hebrews says. If you don't, that heart's gonna get hard and you're gonna continue to grow insensitive to the Spirit of God. And it's not that God isn't speaking to you anymore, it's that your heart is so hard, you're not hearing it anymore. So this is a passage of warning for believers. So for the person who is lost, the person who has never been clothed in Christ, the person who is walking in the old self, who has a dark mind and a hard heart, look at what it results in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 4. They have become callous, and look at this, they give themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. Now, Paul's writing believers in Ephesus that if you remember from our very first chapter, very first week of our sermon series, when we talked about the city of Ephesus, it was known as the Vanity Fair of the ancient world. Immorality, fornication, it was rampant in Ephesus. And so Paul just says, this is what your flesh, this is what your old self craves. All kinds of impurity. And if you give yourself into it, you're gonna be greedy all the more. This is what the old self wants. He says sensuality. Some of your Bibles translate that word licentiousness. It's flagrant sin. This is a person who their mind is so dark and their heart is so hard that the sin that they are living in, it doesn't even bring shame anymore. Like they're not even embarrassed about it. There's no sense of remorse. Rather, they flaunt it. And Paul says this person is eager to, second part of verse 19, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. So he says, don't walk like that. That's how the Gentiles live. They don't walk the line. They live in an old self kind of way. And if I could put it kind of in an equation or a process, I'll put it on the screen for you. It begins with a dark heart, to a dark mind rather, to a hard heart, to an impure life. And this is characterized as the old self. And Paul says, Christians, this shouldn't be how you walk. This shouldn't describe the way that you live. If it does, something is amiss. Instead, Paul calls us to remember who we are in Christ, and he reminds them of this truth in verses 20 through 24. Look at it. The Bible says, but this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Paul says, you've been discipled. Like, you know the truth. Come on, you're better than this, is what Paul's saying. He says, you know how you're supposed to live. And then he tells him, verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Have nothing to do with that. And you're to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So do you see the contrast? Old self living is not what we're after. That's not where we want to be. We are to, verse 22, put off the old self. In verse 22, we are to put on the new self. And putting on the new self starts with right thinking. If impure living begins with a dark mind, dark thinking, then pure living begins with right thinking, an enlightened mind. It all goes back to the mind. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The battlefield for our life in the Christian faith is the mind. What happens in the mind plays out in time. That's why the scriptures say so much about our mind, taking our thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ. Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation. 1 Peter is going to say, prepare your minds for action. There's so much about the mind in Scripture. And what Paul is wanting these Ephesian believers to understand is, this is who you are in Christ. I want you to remember that. Think about that. And when the more you think about it, the right kind of thinking will lead to the right kind of living. I'll put it in bold for you. I put it this way. New self-thinking leads to new self living. This is your identity. This is who I am in Christ. I'm going to listen to who Christ says I am, not what I think I am. I'm not going to listen to the voice of the enemy, who's the accuser of the brethren. I'm going to listen to who God says I am. He says, that which is old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so the new self, this is who I am. New self-thinking leads to new self-living. And this is all a mindset. He says, put off the old self, put on the new self. Now, this whole idea of putting on and putting off, the imagery that Paul uses there, the picture he wants to get into your mind is the picture of taking off clothes and putting on clothes. So we put off the old and we put on the new. Now, the best way I can illustrate this, like if I could take you into my closet, okay? I mean, I'm decked out in my closet, got plenty there. I got a thin side over here. I got a not so thin side over here, and I can, you know, I know where I'm at by what jackets fit and the button doesn't pop off and hit somebody in the front row, all right? And so I've got old clothes in there, and anytime I tried to clean out my closet, like you get to that piece and you go, I can't throw that away. I mean, that, man, that's comfortable. And sometimes we don't want to throw off the old because it's so comfortable. Like I think of it like this, like throwing off the old way of life. Like this right here represents the old way of life, all right? So This is corrupt. This is the old way of life. This is, everything about this is unholy and unrighteous. And the Bible says that this old way of thinking, okay, we need to throw it off. Sure, there's great memories that came along with this, but that's so long ago and that's not who you are anymore. So you throw this off. And look, when you compare the old self to the new self, I mean, when you really think about it, there's no comparison. That's why I say it's a mind game. I mean, when you think about the old self, okay, yeah, good, but when you think about, there's no comparison. So you throw us off, right? And you put on the new self, all right? Created in true righteousness and holiness. I mean, it's white, for goodness sakes. I mean, everything about this is good. So we put off the old and we put on the new. It's a way of thinking. And if we're going to have new self living, we've got to have new self thinking. Now, Paul puts it like this in Romans chapter 12. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, it all starts in the mind. If I'm going to live out the new self, which we're going to see the behaviors of the new self here in verses 25 through 32 here in just a moment. But if I'm going to live out the new self, it begins with the way that I think. And Paul says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Colossians is a twin letter to the book of Ephesians. And when Paul writes in Colossae, listen to what he says in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. This is the old self kind of living. Put it to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Believer, why are we wrapping ourselves up in what is incurring the wrath of God? Makes no sense to live in the old self kind of way. He says, but now you must put them all away. Take it off. The anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, obscene talk. Don't lie to one another. You have put off the old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Notice this is a demand. We don't have a choice in this matter. We are to put off the old and we are to put on the new. This is a decision we make to live out who we are in Christ. This is a matter of the mind. We've talked about that. We don't need a darkened mind. We need an enlightened mind. It's a matter of the heart. We've talked about that. We don't need a hard heart. We need a soft heart. But following Jesus in practical holiness, that's also a matter of the will. And I want to call us this morning to come back to cooperating with the Holy Spirit of God in our practical holiness. Now listen, we can't do a thing about our positional holiness. God secures that at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on a cross for our sins and he shed his blood for us, when we by faith trust in his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection, positionally, he makes us holy. But we have a responsibility, a matter of the will, to cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God and work out our practical holiness so that we look more and more like Jesus every single day. It's a matter of the mind, the heart, and the will. Remember the song we used to sing? I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm making a choice. And every day, I know that I am a new self. August the 3rd, 1989, as an 11-year-old boy, I clothed myself with Christ. I put on the new self. Well, I have a responsibility every single day to wake up and keep putting on the new self, taking off the old and putting on the new. This is the call for every follower of Jesus Christ. New self thinking leads to new self living. And when we put on the new self, our life is going to look a certain way. And Paul tells us, he describes that way in verses 25 through 32. Look at what the Bible says. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands so that he may have something to share with anyone who is in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Do you want to know if you are putting the new self on? You want to know how good you are at putting on the new self? It's not by church attendance. It's not by how much you serve. It's not how much you do for God. You want to know how you're growing in holiness, how you're putting on the new self? You look at verses 25 through 32, and if you sum it up, your spiritual health, how well you are putting on Christ, is determined by two things: our words and our relationships. That's verse 25 through 32. Now, we could do a 6 to 8 week series on those verses right there. But you sum it all together, every single one of them have to do with our words and our relationships. And it's like when we were little, your parents, you remember, maybe some of your parents did this with your kids, to mark their height, you'd line them up against the wall, a closet door, and you put a little Sharpie there, and they'd go back, and as they grew, you'd put a little Sharpie there. As they grew, you put a little Sharpie there. Well, spiritual growth, the index for how healthy we are spiritually, the index for how healthy we are at putting on Christ, it's right here. It's our words, and it's our relationships. When we put on Christ, when we put on the new self, we're not going to, verse 25, lie to others. But instead, we're going to speak what is true. We're not going to, verse 26 and 27, let anger get the best of us and give the enemy a foothold. No. We're going to keep short accounts. We're going to make sure the relationships are right. We're not going to speak out of anger. When we're putting on the new self, verse 28, we're not going to steal, but instead we're going to be a hard worker, be honest so that we can help those in need. We're going to speak words of life and encouragement over others, verse 29 and 30, not words that are corrupt or impure that grieve the Spirit of God. When we're putting on the new self, are you kidding me? We're not going to be full of bitterness and wrath and anger. But instead, when we put on Christ, we're going to choose to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. Talking about walking the line, Ephesians 4, 25 through 32 is it. But this new self living will never happen apart from new self thinking. So let's give our minds to Christ. Enlighten us by your Holy Spirit. Let's give our hearts to Christ and keep them soft by faith and obedience to him. Let's give our will and decision-making over to Christ. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And look at what happens. You have a choice to make. I'll just put it on a final slide as we bring this message to a close. Which one are you going to choose? You got to put on one and put off the other. Which one's it going to be? A dark mind, a hard heart, an impure life? That's the old self. Put it off and put on an enlightened mind, soft heart, pure life. That's the new self. When we do that, that's when we're walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.